T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1, New York. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Lot to get to in this 5 o'clock hour. Get you set for a massive, massive night at UBS Arena. Rangers Islanders for the first time and only time at UBS. Big Nick game, Yankees and Mets in action. We'll analyze the lineups in a second, but first, it's 5 o'clock.
Cinco de Fivo with five. Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right. This hour, we're going to get into what is a big night in New York sports, but I'm here for the hockey fan with Rangers Islanders in what has suddenly become a huge game.
Massive game.
Massive game. I'm going to give you the 5 best Rangers Islanders moments of all time, as per request by several listeners.
Oh, this is going to be so douchey. Right. I could just feel it. I feel the douchiness coming out of the list, and you haven't even started it yet.
I'm just going to listen.
Can you let the list breathe?
Yes. I'm going to just listen to it. I'm going to be open-minded.
Tiki, you were in Virginia for plenty of this, so don't worry about it.
I'm not going to know anything.
Here we go.
Number 5.
2014 Yankee Stadium, the first outdoor game between the Rangers and Islanders. The Rangers win 2-1, first ever time the rivalry went outdoors. Fun factoid about this game.
Yeah.
It took place during the week of Super Bowl week, where the Super Bowl was here, giving people who came from out of town a chance to go watch hockey outdoors, only it was about 13 degrees.
Yes.
So there you go.
All right, keep going.
Ranger win, Ev.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Number 4.
I'm so surprised. I'm stunned.
April 4th, 1998, Easter Sunday, a 3-0 Islanders win.
Wow.
Why is this a memorable moment?
I thought you were going all Ranger wins, but go ahead. The floor is yours.
This game is unbelievable. Easter Sunday, because it was the first time in my life I saw a goalie fight. Dan Cloutier fought Tommy Salo, I believe right after Mike Milbury called a timeout up 3-0, angering John Muckler, and we saw a Ranger Islander full-on brawl between goalies.
Yes.
Now that's a good moment.
That is some classic action right
the
there.
The Islanders won, Evan.
Thank you.
Number 3.
I didn't see that coming. I thought it was going to be straight-up Ranger wins. All right,
Game ahead. 5, Patrick Division Semifinals 1984. Kenny Morrow's goal gives the Islanders a win over the Rangers in overtime as Morrow buried a slap shot, sends the Isles to the Patrick Division Finals during their day.
I got to admit, I take everything back. There you're doing a real list. Okay.
Wow, he's a douchey, huh? All right.
Number 2.
2024 Stadium Series. The Rangers trailed 4-1 and 5-3. Then the improbable happened. One of the most improbable hockey moments of all time. Capped with a Mika Zibanejad power play goals. Time ticked away to force overtime. Artemi Panarin scored 10 seconds in. And the first ever Ranger Islander game in front of 80,000 people. Went home with an insane experience that may have led to a Rangers Stanley Cup.
Season-changing win.
Yeah.
He can't put that number 2.
Season-changing win.
Season-changing. They were in the middle of a winning streak when they won that game.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, it really catapulted them. Here we go.
Number 1.
And last but not least, the 30-year anniversary is approaching, the 1994 sweep.
That is not number 1.
I tried to put games 4, 3, 2, and 1 in this list, but it was rather easy for the Rangers, and it became a memorable pillar as it led to the last Stanley Cup won by a New York team.
You know, they played in the playoffs a bunch of times in the early 80s.
Yeah,
you left basically all of it out.
Right, but that, and 30 years ago, they won the President's Trophy.
By the way, what's the we're running a contest now about the memorable draft picks.
Yes.
Are we doing all time or are we giving a threshold?
We're doing the last 50 years.
Okay, so I'm giving you my lifetime.
Oh, I didn't know you prefaced that.
I didn't because Ken Morrow was before my lifetime. But I had to throw an Islander a bone.
Bitch, New York Ranger fan.
So there you go. If you're going to UBS tonight, have a blast.
It's crazy. So the Rangers and Islanders are playing tonight. We know what's on the line. The Rangers are trying to secure the top spot in the Eastern Conference and also the President's Trophy. And I think the value in the Rangers getting, especially the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, is not dealing with Tampa in the first round of the postseason. Like, Sean could talk all big about it, but I don't think there's any doubt you would much rather play the Red Wings or even the Islanders than having to deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the postseason.
Correct.
Okay. So there's a great value in that for the Rangers. And for the Islanders, it's their playoff lives. Mm-hmm. They've actually put themselves in a spot right now where they're a point ahead in third place in the Metro, in which they'd be matched up with Carolina in the first round. And the Rangers Islanders have two games coming up in the next week. But here's the thing that's so mind-boggling to me. Because of the fact that the Stadium Series game has to be considered an Islander home game, this is the only time the New York Rangers are playing at UBS Arena this year. And to make matters weirder,
So a home game in New Jersey.
No, in Long Island.
No, I'm talking about the stadium.
I'm sorry, yes, in New Jersey. Correct.
It was a home game in New Jersey.
Correct, because the
Rangers clearly was more of a Rangers home crowd.
Yeah, a little bit. I'd agree with that. But the Rangers, I guess, technically can't play a home game not at Madison Square Garden. That's why anytime they play a Stadium Series or Winter Classic game, they have to be the road team.
Why is that? They have a Dolan deal or
something?
I think
it's in the lease.
Yeah, it's something with the lease in Madison Square Garden.
So they can never play a home game away from...
No. Correct. They played a Winter Classic versus the Sabres at Citi Field. Buffalo was the home team.
Yeah, think about that. I remember that. That's how crazy the rule is. But hear me out on this. So obviously the other Islander home game was at MetLife, as Tiki said, it was in New Jersey. So this is the one game at UBS Arena. But if you go back to last year, Tiki, they didn't play late in the year at UBS. So the last time the Rangers played the Islanders at UBS Arena was October of 2022.
Insane.
Is that not incredible?
So the Islanders have not had a true home game against the crosstown rivals in forever.
I'll take this, Sean. We never have a true home game against the crosstown rivals.
Why?
Because there's a ton of Ranger
fans
there.
They inundate you?
Yeah.
They take it over?
You needed me to say that?
It's like the Knicks coming into Barclays?
It's not, okay, I want to answer that question as someone who's experienced both. Recently, I would say it was similar, but unfortunately, the most recent Knicks-Nets game was overwhelming. I don't think that'll be the case now at UBS. To me, the split, and I've been to I actually have never been to an Islander Ranger game at UBS. There haven't been that many, but I've been at the Nassau Coliseum many, many times, and I would say, if we're being fair, the breakdown is usually 60-40 Islanders. We have the edge. It's not. Is that a fair...
No, I agree.
Okay.
I agree. Yeah.
So I assume UBS Arena tonight, you're looking at something similar, maybe a little bit better for the Islanders. But the other thing I've noticed is that the prices for this game, it's just stupid. Like, I think to get it, the last check, and I'll check again because now we're 2 hours away before faceoff, that the get-in price last check was over $200.
What? Yeah. Islanders fighting for their lives, and the Rangers tonight can clinch their first division title in 9 years.
That's crazy. All right, so the get-in I have on SeatGeek is $170. So,
that's
very
pricey,
similar.
Man.
In the upper corner of UBS Arena. Incredible, incredible game.
That Shaq chicken sandwich better be worth it.
No doubt. It's a huge game. Let's face it. You laid out the what's on the line, especially for the Islanders, just fighting for their playoff lives. But they have completely turned this season around after all the collapses early. Now, a couple of baseball thoughts. We'll get back into the hockey and the basketball a little bit later on. Number one, let me get to Volpe, and I'll tell you why now is the time. I heard two Yankee fans on this radio station, who I respect, by the way, give their reasoning for why Anthony Volpe should not lead off right now. And they gave the same reason. And those two Yankee fans I respect. Do you want to guess the two Yankee fans I respect?
BT.
Brandon Tierney is one.
Big Mac.
I didn't hear Big Mac. Big Mac. Sorry, Big Mac. I love you. I didn't hear you.
Nobody did.
Keith McPherson.
Keith, okay.
And both Brandon and Keith said something. And I respect them, but I think they're looking at it the wrong way, which is...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Why do it now? Like, why would you move Anthony Volpe now? Everything's working. Like, the Yankees are winning. They're 9-2. Volpe's hitting. I think Keith's phrasing was, don't break something that's not broken. Mm-hmm. And I think I heard Brandon say, I'm more paraphrasing, I'll do it when I need to do it. So they both kind of have the same thought of, why would you do it now? This is when you do it. I think it's the exact opposite. Why would I take a young player and put more pressure on him by moving him when I'm desperate? By moving him when, boy, the offense isn't working. Moving him when I need a spark. I do it right now when I could look into the eyes of Anthony Volpe and say, you know why you're leading off? Because you earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have performed, yes, a small sample size, only 11 games. You have done so well that we want to reward you by saying, this is your future, kid. So I totally understand that mindset that Keith had and Brandon had of like, well, why would I do that now? Come on, we're 9-2. Why mess with it? Because I don't want to mess with things when things are bad. Because then you're putting pressure on the kid.
Well, I think it depends on how you view Anthony Volpe's future.
The leadoff hitter. I think we're all in agreement on that. I think Keith, Brandon, me, I think we all look at Anthony Volpe as that guy is the, when he's the leadoff hitter, he's the leadoff hitter for the next decade.
Even though he's been unbelievably good with his bat, hitting home runs, consistently hitting.
Yeah.
And so,
he's a leadoff hitter.
You could say, yes, he's a leadoff hitter. But 100%. You could also say, why not bat him cleanup or fifth?
Nah. Right? I'll tell you why. Can I give you a reason?
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you a stat about Anthony Volpe. And I understand it's 11 games. We have to keep that in perspective. Anthony Volpe, and by the way, the stat I'm about to give you, it's not his OPS, which is great. It's not his batting average, which is great. It's not his stolen bases. It's not his on base. I'm going to give you something completely different. And this matters. This matters to me. He is seeing the fourth most pitches per plate appearance of anybody in baseball. Interesting. Now, why does that matter to me? Here's why it matters to me. If I've got Anthony Volpe leading off, followed by Juan Soto, and followed by Aaron Judge, I could get a starting pitcher to basically break down in the first inning of a game.
Yes. By the way, three of those guys are in the top four in Major League Baseball.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Could you? So I look at this as I can go for the kill early. I want my best hitters. I want my hitters who have longer at-bats. I want my hitters who get on base. I want them at the top of the order. I'm sorry to anyone who's older and anyone who's old school, and I'm partially old school, it ain't 1985 anymore. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's not the way it is. I don't look at my cleanup hitter as he's got to be my biggest power hitter. I don't look at my fifth place hitter. Mm-hmm. No. I look at my three best hitters need to be hitting one, two, and three. And Anthony Volpe so far is proving he can be that. And Gleyber Torres probably fits better as that down in the batting order guy you're talking about who's hitting fifth or sixth to drive runs in. Volpe, Soto, and Judge would define relentlessness. That's the ideal top of the order. And with all due respect to every Yankee fan who says, not now, not now. No.
But
now is perfect.
Yeah, but I don't think that any Yankee fan is clamoring for this right now.
Why?
Or the Yankees themselves are,
because they're winning,
are clamoring for it. Because it doesn't feel like it's an issue. It doesn't feel like it's an area of need.
You only make changes when things are issues?
No, of course not.
But that's what you just said.
But I think that, yeah, but if, so Keith is saying if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Totally get it. Yeah.
But you're also looking at where Anthony Volpe is right now, his level of importance, usually five or six, mostly six. And he comes up in spots where he needs to put bat on ball. There's times where you just need a hitter to put the ball in play. Don't think of anything else. Ball in play scores a run, right? That's where he's been, especially this season because of how how good Soto's been at getting on base and even Judge to an extent. And so when he comes up, he knows I don't need to be a hero. I just need to put bat on ball. Sometimes those are home runs, mm-hmm. right? Other times it's a base hit or it's a walk. But the reason you'd want him to lead off, and I get this, is because he's going to steal 25 bases this year, maybe 30.
That's only one of the many reasons.
Right.
It's one of the reasons, but not the only reason.
But there's also...
pitches per plate appearance matter, true, getting on base matters.
But there's also huge RBI opportunities for him that he then sacrifices at least the first time through the lineup that you don't want to sacrifice.
I do, because I think the value of him getting on base in front of Soto and Judge is bigger.
Okay, but then you have... Okay, so Aaron Judge, who's striking out a lot so far this year. You put Glaber back there, who's striking out a lot this year. You have... Stanton behind, back there, who's striking out a lot this year. Now, all of a sudden, he's on base, Soto's on base, and say whatever happens with Aaron Judge, get one out, strikes out. Now, who's driving those runs in?
Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo, okay. Glaber Torres. That's a pretty good 4-5-6. What are you, burying these guys?
In theory, you're right.
Yeah.
But in an individual moment, I would more trust Anthony Volpe putting bat on ball, putting it in play than any of those guys right now.
Yeah, but you can't have a guy bat in numerous spots in the batting order. You have to pick one. And what do you value more? The leadoff spot I value more. And I just think the thought process of it's not broken, that's the wrong way to look at it.
I'm not even saying it's not broken.
Because you want to make the move when you have to make the move, when the team's struggling? Why would you want to do that?
If you're going to go look at analytics, because that's what you're doing here. You're saying, you know, the most pitches seen per plate appearance, it's Anthony Volpe. He's up there in top of Major League Baseball. That's an analytic thing, right? You're wearing out the starting pitcher. Soto's going to do the same thing.
It's funny. It's an analytic thing, but you know what's so funny? We talked about this 30 years ago, too. Having guys at the top of the order that have long at-bats is not a new thing. So I understand what you're saying when it's analytical, but it's really just baseball.
So what baseball or analytic is more important? Having guys that wear out the starting pitcher or having a guy who you know is going to put bat on ball with an RBR opportunity.
I want my better hitters
in scoring position.
I want my better hitters batting in the first inning. I want my better hitters getting more plate appearances.
That's
I want
you.
My better hitter.
That's
yeah,
you.
That's everybody.
What do you think Aaron Boone's preference is?
I think Aaron Boone knows what I know, and Keith knows, and BT knows. And see, we all agree. We're just differing on how we get there. We all know Anthony Volpe is the leadoff hitter of the future. No one's going to dispute that. It's just a matter, and I asked this to you yesterday because it is an interesting question. When do you make the move? When do you do it? I'm just telling you, I make the move now. I don't wait for bad things to happen or for the team to struggle to say, oh, gee, I got to shake it up. Let me take the second-year player and make him the leadoff hitter. I think when a guy is hitting and the offense is clicking, but he's proving he can be that guy, I make the move right now. Too many times in baseball, we call a kid up or we move a lineup spot around because we're desperate. Why would we do that? You do it when it makes sense. That's when you... Can I give you an example that's not completely related? It's sort of similar, but not fully. The Mets made a lineup change today. They did something they haven't done all year long. They moved Starling Marte to the two spot in the batting order. Now, maybe what Carlos Mendoza's thinking is, you know what? Starling Marte's been getting on base a lot more, and he steals some bases. I like him in the two spot. Let's try to get more base runners on in front of Lindor and in front of Alonso and hopefully get them hot. The Mets have won 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't wait until they were. He said, I make the change now. The Yankees are playing great baseball. Volpe's playing great. Why not make the change right now? He's earning it. He puts this lineup in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, but I could
argue. And if not now, when? That's my follow-up to anybody.
I could argue that putting Marte in the two hole is trying to take pressure off Lindor.
I know. That's why it's not a perfect comparison, TV. I apologize. I'm just trying to find the... You don't always make changes when things are going bad. And it seems like... I guess my retort to any Yankee fan who says not now, respectfully, because I think this is one of those fun arguments. I see both sides. I hate to say that. I know we're not supposed to say that in this world anymore. You're an idiot. I'm smart. You're dumb. And all that kind of crap. If you don't want to make the move now, when do you want to make the move? And if your answer is when it's broken, well, I don't accept that.
I don't even think,
when
I don't
it's
even
broken?
Think it's,
no, I got to do it when things make sense.
But I don't think it's a when it's broken thing.
So when do you do it?
I think it is. Well, the question is it an inevitability?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you think it is.
Do you think it is?
I don't know.
Do you think it's inevitability?
Do you think Aaron Boone thinks it is?
Yes.
Is really the question.
Yes. I think it's an inevitability in his career. I'm not so sure it's an inevitability this year. You still have Glaber on a contract year.
Yes.
And I said, do you think that Anthony Volpe's hitting 400 this year, Evan?
No.
Okay.
Do I think Anthony Volpe could be top five in pitches per plate appearance? Yes.
No. Okay.
Do I think he could lead the league in stolen bases? Yes. Do I think he could get on base 38% of the time? Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Yankees.
Want to keep going?
The Yankees.
Because that's a leadoff hitter.
I get it. The Yankees have a gift here in that they have a prospect that went through a lot of up and downs last year, ended up winning a gold glove and everything, that now looks like he's hit his stride right out the gate. He's been ultra important. Like I said yesterday, baseball's a roller coaster. He is going to hit a bump in the road. I don't want him hitting that bump in the road at some point right after we have put him leadoff to the point where you double think and you're yanking him back and forth. I look at it no different than drafting a quarterback. Once you play him at quarterback, you don't want to pull him back on the bench.
Yeah.
I want Anthony Volpe, after he's already hit a little bit of a skid and rebounded this year, then I would look at him as a viable leadoff hitter.
So your answer is he's got a slump and then get hot again.
Yeah, because I'm being realistic. Okay. He will slump.
Of course he will.
Because everybody will.
But guess what? Gleyber Torres isn't exactly hitting the cover off the ball. He hasn't been a perfect leadoff hitter.
But again, I know your point. It's not broken. That doesn't mean not fix it.
I don't understand. Like, I shouldn't say I don't understand the argument. I get the argument. I don't think that's ideal. I don't think it's ideal to make these kinds of changes when things are going negatively.
But they won't have to.
Sometimes changes are good even when things are going well.
They might be 20 games over when they have to make this change. It could still be going well when they make the change. I'm thinking about the individual more than anything.
All right. Fair enough.
We got a JD Martinez update.
Is he still sore?
Well, we have what's wrong with him.
Oh, jeez. Oh, he was hurt. He was hurt the whole time, Tiki.
What is it?
JD Martinez is dealing with lower back tightness.
Told you. You signed a damaged player.
A problem he has had in the past. He has received a cortisone shot.
Oh, God.
He will now sit for 3 to 5 days.
Oh, God.
Told you. When did I say? I said this in the Met chat.
Yeah, you said he's damaged.
I'm serious. I said this like a week and a half ago.
He taunted us. He said you got damaged goods,
Evan. You bought damaged goods, and now we know why. Now we know why.
Well, this is the problem with I support the signing. Mm. I still support it. This is what happens when you're 37, 38 years old. Mm. That's the problem.
Now it all makes sense.
I still wonder what the hell he was doing during the offseason. Like, was he trying to get ready for the baseball season?
I don't know. Maybe he was just having fun, living life.
And the other thing is,
drinking some beers, having some cheeseburgers.
I know DJ Stewart hit the home run yesterday. That was his first hit of the season. Mark Vientos is tearing it up at AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that Vientos should have made the team. Give him a few weeks to hit. Let's see what happens.
Now look at this. Like if he had been here in the stead of JD Martinez, who knows where he'd be?
Well, that was why he should have made the team.
Maybe JD wouldn't feel as important.
Zach Short is useless. I mean, honestly, Zach Short is a pinch runner as a defensive reply. I mean, how valuable has Zach Short really been? He's been here. I love the fact he's a Jet fan, but come on.
He's pretty good, though, defensively.
Was he great on last Saturday when Luis Severino gave up a ground ball to third base?
He was fine. So, look, at this point, you don't want Vientos having to play third. You probably don't have to.
No, he should be DHing.
He's just going to be your DH.
Yeah.
He's going to take JD, Stewart spot.
DJ Stewart, who hit a home run yesterday, by the grace of God. Anyhow, let's check in on the Yankee lineup, and I'll tell you what my issue with the Met lineup, and then we'll get back to your calls. We'll also get you set for tonight's big action in sports. The Yankee starting lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub-sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who serve. As far as the Yankees are concerned tonight, game two of this series against Miami, Gleyber, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo, Anthony Volpe still in that six hole, Alex Verdugo batting seventh against the lefty A.J. Puck, John Birdie batting eighth at third base, and Austin Wells getting the start against the lefty. Good to see. There's your Yankee lineup. Now, my issue with the Met lineup is who's not playing. And the guy not playing is Francisco Alvarez. So unless Sean's going to break glass and tell me Alvarez has some kind of injury that he's nursing, and I know Francisco has cooled off. He did not have a great night last night, along with Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor. But Francisco Alvarez should be out there every single game. That's the way I look at it. Every single game. He's not DHing tonight. He's not catching. He's not in the lineup. So, unless you break glass and tell me he's hurt, I got an issue with Mendy.
All glass remains intact.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Bothers me. Should play every day. Anyhow, let's get to your phone calls. Let's go to Kevin in Cranford, New Jersey. What's up, Kevin?
Guys, I'm going to see you tomorrow.
Nice. You're coming to Staten Island. Wait. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice.
I called you guys last week. Kevin Cranford. And I was calling you about I'm a Red Sox fan, and I watched Verdugo, Betts, and JD Martinez like do that whole win, dance, repeat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they won the World Series. So as me just being a baseball guy, I'm watching the freaking Yankees win, dance, repeat, and that's Solely Verdugo, bro.
By the way, that should be his new nickname, Verdugo, bro.
We'll see you tomorrow. Speaking of the Red Sox and speaking of the Yankees, I want to ask you this really quick question. I want everybody on record. So when the Mets started 0-5, maybe even before that, they were 0-4. We went around the room and said, do you think the Mets will see 500 ever again? And I said they will. You said they would. Lugie said they would. Sean said they're done. They're not seeing 500 again. We later find out if they don't see 500 again, it would be their first wire-to-wire under 500 season since 1965. So we do a temperature check on that. And you're still firm they will not see 500 again?
Yeah, ask me again tomorrow.
I got a new question. I got a new question. Will the New York Yankees ever leave first place?
Well, that's a good question.
They are 9-2. They're 2 games up on Boston. They're 2.5 up on Baltimore. The Orioles beat the Red Sox today in the Red Sox opener, home opener.
What was the score of that game?
6-1, 7-1, yeah, something like that?
Thought so.
Yeah, Corbin Burns dominated as long as he's still healthy. We'll find out if that's going to change in the next 5 days. Will the New York Yankees ever drop out of first place in 2024? Tiki Barber?
I'm going to say yes.
He's going to say yes. Tommy Lugauer?
Yes.
Okay, Sean Morash?
Yes.
I'm going to be the only one that says no. They're going wire to wire.
Wow.
I picked them to win the division at the beginning of the year. I ain't saying anything crazy.
I think August and September is going to be a lot of the Yankees and Orioles, not just for first place, I think for home field in the American League.
So there'll be a little back and forth action.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I mean, look, it's not a huge lead. It's 2.5 games. It's nothing. Yeah. It could be gone in 3 days. But I am going to put my I'm going to put it on the line. I should get odds like at FanDuel or something on this. The Yankees go wire to wire.
Because the Red Sox were up there. I knew they were coming. They would come back to Earth eventually.
I mean,
What were their first couple of series? They were. I mean, it wasn't anybody to write home about. But I knew the Orioles would smack them around.
So they beat the Angels recently.
Yeah, they were on a 9-game West Coast trip.
And they got off to a good start, to their credit, but they're just not any good. Now they're getting injuries. Trevor Story's out for the year.
Seattle. They swept Oakland.
Yeah, that's right. They beat Oakland. It was Oakland and Anaheim at the end of their trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Angels.
Well, they stink. The Red Sox, that is.
So exactly. So now they're coming back to Earth.
So I'm the only one thinking they're going to go wire to wire.
Even though they do got to go back out. Or no, Anaheim comes here.
What are you analyzing the Red Sox schedule? Screw the Red Sox. They're irrelevant.
In Pittsburgh. No, they actually. I'm just looking at their month.
Goodbye, SNY. Thank you for checking in with us today.
April is somewhat light for them.
I got a Bruin and Celtic thought, dude.
I'm not worried about the Red Sox. I'm worried about obviously the Orioles. Like, I agree with you about that. Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm saying they're not going to see second place again. And the Mets will see 500. Hopefully in the next couple of days. How great would that be? We'll get to your calls next. Plus, we're going to power rank all the big games tonight. The Yankee game, the Met game, Rangers, Islanders, Knicks, Bulls. Should we throw the Nets in there just for fun?
No.
Okay. Should we throw the Devils in there just for fun?
Absolutely not.
Okay. We got ourselves a hell of a sports night tonight. The Yankees are back in action on this just gorgeous, gorgeous Tuesday night against the Miami Marlins. The Mets are trying to build off of what was an incredible victory last night, a shocking victory last night over the Atlanta Braves. We've got one of the great local rivalries going on tonight at UBS Arena. The New York Islanders fighting for their playoff lives against the New York Rangers, who are battling for the President's Trophy. And I don't mean to attack my friends, because they are my friends who are Devil fans, but it has been brought to my attention that the New Jersey Devils, who also play tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs, but the Devils are not in any kind of playoff race. They're just not. They're 6 points behind the Islanders. They're not in this thing right now. They've got four teams they would need to jump. They're not making the postseason. It has been told to me that the Devil fan is whining and complaining about the playoff format. What is going on here, Sean?
Yes, so apparently as the Islanders have resurged here into a playoff spot.
Resurged here to a playoff spot, Tiggy.
If you notice the standings, if you care to look, the Devils actually have won two more games than the Islanders.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. So
but
what?
The Devil fan is now complaining that it's ridiculous that the Islanders can make the playoffs based on all of these losses and overtimes and shootouts, while the Devils have technically done a better job of actually winning games.
Let me explain this to Devil fans. Okay, so this is very complicated. I want you to sit down and listen carefully. In hockey, when a game goes to overtime, both teams get a point. So even if you lose in overtime or you lose in the shootout, you get a point. So let's say the Islanders had a 3-goal lead and then they lost in overtime. Would they get a point, Tiki?
Yes.
Because they get a point because the game went to overtime.
But I would argue because this is...
No one asked you to argue.
I would argue getting a point for losing is stupid.
It's called a loser point, yes.
It is stupid.
But those are the
losing
rules.
Should never be rewarded.
Okay.
Participation trophies.
But in hockey, those are the rules.
I know.
So for a Devil fan to cry about it shows me they don't understand
the rule. They're just saying it's stupid to be rewarded for losing, which I agree with, by the way. You should get no points for losing. No points for losing. You want to draw? Give them a point, right? If you want to win, give them an extra point.
You think that we should allow?
That's soccer. 3 points for winning, 1 point for a draw, 0 for losing.
So you think that we should allow a skills competition to decide who really wins a game and you get nothing?
No, do an overtime period.
Yes.
And after, if it's still 0-0, then you'd, or 0-0. Or 1-1.
Yeah,
2-2.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
If it's still tied.
Yeah, then what?
You give both teams a point. Game over.
Yeah, they used to do that. And you know what the problem was? Teams would dance around each other because they wouldn't try to win because they wanted to make sure they got the point.
No, I think you get no points. This was how I would fix it. But you also don't get 2 points. You get the 1 point if you win in overtime.
Say that one more time.
You get 2 points for winning in regulation.
Okay.
1 point for winning in overtime. No points if you lose at all.
Okay. I apologize to you, Tiki, as a Devil fan. I know you got to put that flag up for these losers.
No, I'm just saying. And you, Sean, to give points for losing.
It's not about it being stupid. These are the freaking rules. We're 78 games into the season. And now we're bitching about how they award points out. Like, this is the way hockey's been now since they instituted the shootout a decade ago. What are we doing?
So what you're basically saying is that to lose is only 1 point worse than winning. Right?
Yes. Yes.
It makes no sense at all.
But okay. Okay. If we had this discussion in July, and maybe we will.
It just allows a lesser team to stay in it.
You're saying the Islanders are a lesser team?
With 14 or 15 overtime losses? Yes.
Because they have two less wins than the New Jersey Devils? They're a lesser team?
You just don't get rewarded for winning.
You do get rewarded for winning. You get 2 points if you
clearly
win.
Clearly not enough.
Oh, my God. This is such crybaby crap.
It's not crybaby.
It's just crybaby crap.
I'm just telling you from a basic competitive standpoint, it means nothing to lose. So why are you rewarding losing?
Well, you don't get the second point. You only get 1 point.
Evan, do you think the runner on second base is stupid in extra innings?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But that's a rule.
And what do I do when the Mets lose in extra innings?
You complain about it.
Do I?
Or you don't. But the bottom line is just because something's a rule doesn't mean we can't acknowledge. You know what? It is kind of stupid.
I know, but it's crybaby stuff. Like, these are rules. Like, okay, here's the difference with the runner on second.
But if it was the other way around, you'd feel differently.
No, I wouldn't. I've been concerned. Well, when have I ever bitched about the NHL point system?
Now I'm going to go
because
look
I feel my team's going to get screwed.
I'm going to go look at the NHL point system.
You guys just danced around the point, though. If the role was on the other foot, would Devil fans be sitting there going, you know what, Islander fans, you really should get in the playoffs over Jim Warrens? Of course they would.
Of course they would. And this is lunacy. And look, Devil fans, understand something. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. We're friends. We don't have an issue with each other because if, God forbid, the Rangers are playing the Islanders in the first round, you know who you're rooting for? Just like you know who I was rooting for last year and when you played them in the conference finals a decade ago? So stop it. Stop with this friendly fire crap, okay? There is a system in the NHL. When did they institute the shootout? It's been over a day. It's been like 15 years.
After they came out of the lockout. So we're talking like 2004, 2005.
Okay, so we're talking 2 decades now of the same rules. And now we're whining because we have 2 more wins than the Islanders, but the Islanders have 6 more points because the Islanders have managed to blow lead after lead after lead after lead. I mean, this is the weakest, most pathetic argument ever heard from a fan base.
It also incentivizes playing for overtime. Does it not?
Does what?
A point for losing in overtime.
Yeah.
Does it not incentivize playing for overtime?
Well, you know that if you get to overtime, you at least get a point, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
So it incentivizes playing to lose.
Yeah, but under your rules of we'll just give everybody a point and we'll have ties,
I'm saying,
again.
No point.
Nobody will play. No, but if a team finishes in a tie like they used to.
Yeah, after an overtime period.
Yeah, no one would play in overtime. They'd sit around, they'd dance around each other.
Now you incentivize winning and you make it 3 points as opposed to one.
Would you rather get 0 points or 1 point? Exactly. You'd dance. You wouldn't even play.
You can't make a 3 because then you're rewarding you for going overtime over winning in regulation by giving them 3 instead of 2.
Why are you guys trying to reinvent the rules because you hate the Islanders?
Like, No. I'm just saying you're allowed to acknowledge a rule, stupid. I think a Devil fan brought up a good point here. That's all.
Yeah.
Do you want the shootout? Because forget overtime for a second.
No, forget the shootout. No, forget the shootout. The shootout is only for games that can't win in overtime. That's how soccer
is. That's regular season games, though. They don't have the shootout in overtime. In the playoffs, they just keep playing. Are you saying that the way we play overtime with these 3-on-3 and with the shootout rule, that should determine fully 2 points and 0 points if you lose? Is that what you guys are saying? Because that's not even real hockey.
No.
You know it's not real hockey.
Yeah, I think I got something you might even agree with, Evan. Instead of a traditional tiebreak, hey, we're tied, look at whatever, make it a striking distance tiebreak. If you're within 5 points and have more wins, you get the spot.
No. Okay. It's a terrible idea, and I don't like what you're doing.
Because what am I doing?
You should just be supporting the Islanders saying, what are you talking about? These are the rules. They're 6 points ahead of the Devils.
But I can't support the other team in town, the Devils? I just think it's an interesting argument.
No, it's not an interesting argument. Okay, it's a lame, pathetic desperation argument.
Are the Bruins for real?
What do you mean, are they for real?
I don't know enough about the Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, they were they're a great regular season team. They're frauds in the playoffs. So is that a fair definition of the Bruins?
Yeah, except this year, all they do is win in overtime and shootouts. They don't win in regulation.
Right, so are they going to go far? Or are they frauds?
I think they're frauds.
Right. I think they're frauds.
Matter of fact, but they're sitting at top the table or the Atlantic with 107 points.
And they deserve to have 107 points.
Matter of fact, put the Devils in over them, too.
All right, let's power rank these games tonight.
Panthers have two more wins than they do, by the way.
I'm aware. The Panthers are tremendous. They're the team that's going back to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right. And
that's my prediction.
And they have two more wins and five less points.
Okay, what the hell does that prove?
It's 9 overtime points.
Well, I tell you, you really accepted that Devil fandom, man. You're going to bat for this dopey argument.
This has nothing to do with the Devil.
Yes,
this has everything to do with rewarding losing.
Tiki's a fan of math. That's what it comes to.
And rewarding losing makes no damn sense.
All right. So tonight, here are your options on television. The Mets against the Braves, pretty big game.
Yes.
Now, considering it's April, pretty big game. Carlos Rodon and the New York Yankees against the Marlins trying to start 10-2. The New York Knicks, who have a legitimate chance at the 2 seed right now in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks are really struggling. The Bucks have a very tough schedule to close this season out. Think about who the Bucks play. And the Knicks have to make up 2 games on them because they're 1 game behind them, but the Bucks have the tiebreaker. So the Knicks have to make up 2 games on them to keep that in mind. The Bucks play Boston tonight, Orlando, Oklahoma City, and Orlando.
Yeah, that could easily be 4 losses.
They could lose all 4 games.
Yeah.
Now, I think what the Knicks fan probably wants is them to split with Orlando because you also want to make sure you're ahead of them.
Yeah.
But the Magic play Houston, Milwaukee, Philly, and Milwaukee. The Knicks play Chicago, Boston, Brooklyn, and Chicago. Boy, you play the Bulls a lot. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, we play them 3 times here down the stretch.
Yeah.
Lost them already.
What is this, 3 times in a week and a half?
Feels that way.
Yeah, and it's the new Giants-Eagles at the end of the season.
It really is.
But that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's a quirk of the
schedule.
Listen,
a lot of scheduling. Doesn't make sense, right? A lot of it doesn't make sense. The Islanders not playing the Rangers at UBS for a year and a half doesn't make sense. I'd have to guess the Knicks are, like, legit. I think they're going to get the 2 seed. I can't believe it. So you got Knicks-Bulls. We mentioned the Met game, the Yankee game, Rangers-Islanders. We'll put the Devils and the Nets aside because, you know.
They deserve to be in the playoffs.
How would you power rank your control order of those 4 games? Tiki Barber.
I'm going to say Knicks first.
Knicks first.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Just because of the import of the win.
I understand.
Not only can they get into the 2 seed, but they need to avenge the disgusting display that they put on Saturday.
Tiki's also a Devil crybaby.
Stop
so
it.
So that's why he's going to put
I'm not even talking about
By the way, Tiki, Jack Hughes announced now out for the season. So there goes that argument.
Is he really?
He's on the Devils.
He knows that.
Come on. He's got a brother, too. His name's Luke.
Does he?
Yeah. Boom!
What does he do? He's a plumber?
Tiki knows more hockey than you, Luigi.
I don't know any hockey. I just know we have 3 teams.
So. All right, so you got Knicks number one.
I'm going Knicks, Yankees.
Oh, you're disrespectful.
Mets.
Wow.
And then Rangers Islanders.
Wow, you put Rangers Islanders last.
Yeah, because I know the Rangers are winning.
Jeez, this guy. Yeah, I tell you, he's something else, man. He's something else. All right, go ahead, Sean. You're going Islanders, Rangers number one, I assume?
It has to be. Division title on the line, Islanders. Second is definitely the Knicks playing for the 2 seed. Mm-hmm. I got to prioritize end of season here over beginning of season. It's definitely Mets Braves because you really could see a season turner tonight. And it's Yankees Marlins puttering at the end.
Yankees,
I love the
Marlins last.
But
okay.
Come on.
All right, Lugie, go ahead.
Yeah, the Yankees Marlins have a chance to not get watched at all. If they run out to a quicker number,
you
quick.
Put them second.
I know, but I could easily just like let it go.
All right, fair enough.
So I'm going Islanders, Rangers first.
Yeah,
I'm going Knicks second, Mets third, Yankees fourth.
All right,
so you guys are the same.
I'm going to go Islanders, Rangers, number one. Because to me, that's the clear number one. The issue I'm having with Islanders, Rangers, the game starts at 7 o'clock. Okay?
So you're going to miss it.
Well, here's the problem.
The beginning of it.
Here's the problem. Normally, I DVR games. I'm a big DVR. Especially this game tonight. I want to watch every second.
But you only have two DVR slots?
No. I'm an emotional hedger. And if the Islanders take an early lead tonight, which they probably will, guess what Papa Evan's doing on his FanDuel app?
Betting the Rangers.
Betting the Rangers. Right. The way I bet the Braves all night last night. So I'm debating, do I, like...
Well, you can't...
I can't DVR
it. You can't delay it.
You gotta
consume it in real time.
I'm gonna have to... That's the problem. Do I consume it in real time?
Okay, hold on. Are you doing the same for the Mets?
The Mets, I'm going to DVR, but I feel less pressure to emotionally hedge the Met game.
Because they already have a game in hand?
It's different. Like, I emotionally hedged them a lot last night, I think, because of the way the game went.
Yeah.
I don't emotionally hedge every game that they play, but they come back from 4-0 down. They take the 8-5 lead. Like, there were circumstances that led to it. So, we'll see. And with the Mets, I there's a chance I'll catch up. Game starts at 7:20. The 20 minutes are huge. I don't know. There's a chance I catch up. But in hockey, you don't get a great opportunity. If the Islanders score 5 minutes into the game, I'd be hedging right off the top.
Yeah, the intermissions help you, but...
They do, but the early score is a big problem in the emotionally hedging game. So I go Islanders, Rangers number one. I go Mets number two. They're ahead of the Knicks. Because quite frankly, we're going crazy about 2-seed, 3-seed, 4. We don't know who they're going to play. A lot of that isn't even dependent on how they do. So, I know we all want home court advantage in the first round if you're a Knicks fan, but let me ask you this. I'll ask you this question. Right now, the way the standings are falling in the NBA, the 7-8 matchup, and that's the team you would play if you're the 2-seed, would be Miami against Philadelphia. And by the way, the Sixers have won 5 in a row, and Joel Embiid is healthy, okay? If you're the Knicks, and that's your prize for being the 2-seed, Philly versus Miami in the play-in game... Really good spot there, Loogie? Or are you feeling like, I don't really like the 2-seed?
No, I'm torn on it because obviously finishing as a 2-seed is a great accomplishment, but you're right.
Don't be scared. No.
Yeah, but Teak, if you get the 2-seed, you're getting the Sixers and the Heat that aren't really 7 and 8 seeds, so you're getting a bad draw.
But you can't be scared.
I'm not saying I'm scared, but it's a bad draw, though. I'd rather get the Cavs or Magic.
You'll match up well, especially with Mitch back. I didn't even realize this, that iHeart's black. Did you hear that?
No.
His dad is black.
All right. How did you find this out?
He was on the podcast with
Jalen and Josh Hart.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
And they asked him about like his skin color.
Right.
And he said, you know how they say light skinned? He said, I'm bright skinned. People don't know his dad is black.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And so they had this whole conversation about how people like started treating him differently when they found out he was black. Like,
really?
Hey, how you doing, I Heart? And they're like, oh, what's up, bro? How you doing? That's funny. It was great.
I have to listen to that podcast.
To it was awesome.
I was so confused when you said it at first. I was like, what are you talking about?
It was great.
877-337.
That's the information you get here.
I was shocked. I had no idea.
I wouldn't have guessed he was black.
I had no idea. And so, anyways, but they can divide and conquer Embiid, I would believe. I'm just thinking matchup-wise.
I understand
against the 76ers. So my point is, don't be scared of the 76ers just because Joel Embiid is back and playing great basketball.
I'm just saying it's not a better matchup. Playing the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Indiana Pacers would be a better matchup, and that's why I don't want to say ego. That's not the right word. I get the accomplishment of being the 2-seed, especially for someone like Tommy, who I think opened up a Lou Gower once, screaming and yelling, we're going to be the 2-seed! So I'm sure he wants to be right about that, and I respect that. You want to say, hey, I told you guys, we're going to be the 2-seed. But this 2-seed doesn't feel that special. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it's this great victory.
It feels like a regular season accomplishment, not a harbinger of great postseason.
No, it feels
success.
Like it could lead to a tougher road.
Yeah.
And that's why, you want to win every game, but it doesn't feel like playoff games down the stretch. Because here's what I know about the Knicks. I know they're not going to be in the play-in tournament. I feel decently about you getting home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Like, I feel pretty good about that with the position you're in, a game ahead of Cleveland in the loss column, plus having the tiebreaker. So I put that behind the Mets, and I put the Yankees last. I agree with you. Something may happen in the Yankee game that could cause it to jump up the list, but I would go Islanders, Rangers number one, Mets, Braves number two, Knicks, Bulls number three, Yankee game number four if I'm power ranking.
Let's be honest. The Yankees aren't going to play an important game until October. I hate to be that guy, but they're not. They're going to run 100
it's
games.
It's still the Yankees, though.
No,
you
I know.
Watch it.
But if like you rank them with this,
you're watching
though.
A game, and it's like, oh, this thing is it is what it is. They're going to beat them. They'll get to them eventually. And then Volpe hits a home run, and you're like, man, This kid is awesome.
You know what this reeks of
now? And if you
now?
Watch it, if you were watching it in real time, it's like, man, this kid is awesome. I even said it to Tracy. She was like, well, why do I care? Like, I don't know. I was like, this kid is just awesome.
I think we're getting a Carlos Rodon no-hitter tonight now.
Oh, could you imagine? We're power-ranking these games. No one's watching.
It'll be an hour and a half long. Nobody will be able to eat their Mr. Softy.
Can you imagine that? It is a crazy sports night. It is one of those nights you live for as a sports
fan. And they're all relatively the same time, right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock for Islanders Rangers, 7:05 for Yankees, 7:20 for Mets, 8 o'clock for Knicks. So it's all kind of in that same range.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.